In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. With me in the studio again is Pastor John Fallahy, and we have been discussing humility, humbling ourselves, found in Philippians chapter 2. Pastor John, just kind of review for us a bit where we have been the last couple of times.
Well, on the topic of the glory of humility, we're really looking at a couple things. And first, is Paul starts off in Philippians 2, and he's speaking directly to the church. And he's really talking about this foundation to have unity. And to have unity, you have to have humility. Everyone serving one another, not just looking out for their own interests. And so he gives you this framework. But the framework is helpful to understand how it works. But Paul wants to go further. He wants to give them an example that they can't forget. And so he brings forth Christ as the perfect example of the attitude of humility and the actions of humility.
Okay.
And we see that expressed in Christ's life and in coming down to earth, humbling himself to be a man and going to the cross and dying, not only obedient to God's will, but for sinful man who's rejecting him. That's why he's on the cross. His own people comes to his own people, and his own people do not recognize him, and they crucify him. And that willingness to go to the cross, to serve God, knowing he'd be humiliated for their benefit, even though they don't want the benefit, is an incredible sense of love and humility that, frankly, we don't practice enough in our own lives.
Yeah.
And Christ is not asking us to go to the cross to love one another, but he is asking us to crucify our pride.
So there is a cross involved.
There is.
Is that what he meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me?
That's exactly what it is. Deny yourself.
Okay.
It is to turn from those fleshly passions,
to
yield to the Spirit, to bear fruit of the Spirit, and to show the love of Christ to others that has been shown to us by Christ himself.
So when I face a situation and I'm ready to unload on somebody,
you might want to pull your hand back from the trigger.
The Lord's basically saying, okay, that cross that you're carrying, plant it. Get on it. Die.
That's right. The self has to be crucified. And it's at that place that humility is possible.
Okay.
Because if you don't deny yourself, then you're not humble. And you're allowing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, the world, the devil, to begin to corrupt you.
But that looks like weakness.
Weakness, it may appear as, but the truth is, it's really where the strength is.
Mm.
You know, Christ said the greatest one in the kingdom is the one who's least in the kingdom.
The one who becomes a servant.
A servant to all.
Okay.
And that's hard. And you can't do it in the flesh, but you can do it in the Spirit. And it starts with getting on your knees and praying every day, asking God for opportunities to serve. It's partly taking away your own personal dreams and saying, you know what, I want to submit to something bigger than my dreams. I want to submit to the cause of the kingdom. I want to seek not just my own pleasures, but I want to seek the pleasure of God.
The cause of the kingdom. That's something that is totally a different priority than that which is natural.
The natural man doesn't even understand this concept, let alone has the power to do it. But we as Christians have been given this incredible gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of the Word of God that explains these things to us. We have the example of Christ, the examples of the apostles, Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter and hall of faith. We have so many testimonies of other believers in similar circumstances to ours who chose the path of humility rather than a path of pride.
And I guess when you study the book of Acts and you watch how the disciples went from proud followers of Jesus right at the end of his ministry, arguing on the last couple of days who's going to be the greatest, to being willing to die for the cause of Christ, man, what a transformation took place.
And that transformation took place because of Pentecost.
Uh-huh.
And that's because the Holy Spirit now permanently indwelled in them. And that transformed them from the inside out.
And that's the same Holy Spirit
that you and I have.
Yeah.
We don't need to do miracles. And back to your earlier question, what does the world think of humility? Well, frankly, we shouldn't worry about what they think. We should worry about what God thinks. And in this passage, we actually get to learn what God thinks about humility. And so let me read that passage where it picks up where we left off. We finished at verse 8 in Philippians 2, and now we come to verse 9. And this is amazing. Now, this comes right after the cross, and this is God's insight, what he values. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What does God the Father think of humility? He shows it right there.
Right.
By exalting the most humble person in the universe, Christ. He not only exalts him to the highest position under him, but he gives him a name that's above everyone's name. And then at that name, people should bow. Now, as believers, I'm sure, Pastor Greg, you have the same sentiment. When you see Christ, when you finally go home and be with the Lord, and you see him, if you imagine what you're going to do, what's the first thing you're going to do?
On my face.
On your face. Exactly. I picture myself down on my face, crying, thanking him.
Amen.
And saying, I didn't deserve it.
That's the truth.
Because we wouldn't be here had he not humbled himself
and
did the most difficult thing in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we rejected him first.
Yep.
And so we're going to bow down. But even those who did not in this life humble themselves, they will bow down to him too.
Mm-hmm. Every knee shall bow.
Yeah. Fear and respect.
Right.
But boy, to do it out of love and gratitude.
Mm.
And do you think God's going to get some joy out of that?
Amen, amen, amen.
And that's why it goes on to, towards the end, to the glory of God the Father. This is another aspect of Christ's humiliation. Why is he doing all this? Because he's trying to bring glory to the Father. Another picture of him emptying himself, not being ambitious, but focusing on not himself, but the glory of the Father. And every time you and I, Pastor Greg, or anyone, if you're listening today, every time you take a step in humility with Christ, you are bringing glory to the Father.
It's kind of like the Love and Respect book that we have been studying. In the last chapter, the author says, basically, your marriage is not so much about your relationship to your spouse, but about your relationship to your Heavenly Father.
It's true.
Exactly.
Because when you wake up in the morning, and you set your hearts and affections to say, I'm here to please you, Father.
Right.
This day is yours, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Show me who to talk to, what to say, how to act. And you're mindful that everything you do can be used for the glory of God, may even be used for the salvation of someone's soul. Wow. That changes your perspective, doesn't it?
And the power is all his to do that.
It is.
It's all his.
And the world so desperately needs to see this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons why the apostles, besides Pentecost and being filled with the Holy Spirit, they had Christ demonstrate this week in and week out for 3 years.
Mm.
John said that he couldn't write down everything that happened.
Right.
I can't imagine all the life lessons, the small conversations, the little things that happen in every 24 hours. Christ was always on,
mm-hmm.
always perfect, always with humility. And that must have been an incredible life-changing experience.
Oh.
In fact, remember Peter says, he goes to Christ, Christ, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, 7 times, thinking he's far exceeding the time of the rabbis and what they expected of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And Christ says, no, it's 70 times 7. Which, by the way, was the exact opposite of Lamech, who says, anyone who hurts me, it's vengeance 70 times 7. And so Christ totally flips it on the reverse.
That's an interesting thought. Vengeance as opposed to forgiveness.
Right.
Both numbers, 70 times 7, kind of tells you the condition of your heart, doesn't it?
It reflects exactly mm-hmm. what is going on. Are you going to reflect the glory of God
right.
and put humility on display for God's glory, or are you going to put man's flesh and pride on display and bring a smile to Satan's face?
Yeah.
Because that's really two choices.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to read from Revelation because I love this picture. We're in Revelation chapter 4. And by the way, in the beginning of Revelation 4, we get this picture of God the Father on the throne. It's one of the few places you can go to see the Father. And there's a description there, but we don't get a face or anything like that. And he's on the throne. And then suddenly the Son comes on the scene between the thrones among the four living creatures. And the four living creatures, this is Revelation 4, verse 8, having six wings, which is amazing, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So picture of God the Father there. And then the Son comes and takes the scroll. And what do they say? They sing a song. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I hear them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. It's a marvelous picture. And one day, Pastor Greg, we're going to be there among this multitude of chorus with a transformed, resurrected body, thinking like Christ, sin removed from our presence forever, and we can see God for who he is with our eyes, as I see you today.
What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. Look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
And we can look to each other and be thankful that God saved us.
Oh,
and how did that happen? Because God humbled himself. He didn't have to, but he wanted to out of love. That's the remarkable truth. And that's why I titled this The Glory of Humility. Because everything about humility, the way God expresses it, the way Christ expresses it, the way the Holy Spirit works it in us, when we truly deny ourselves, carry our cross, and follow Christ, yielding to the Spirit, and we demonstrate humility, it brings honor and glory to our Savior and to the Heavenly Father. And that's what you and I need to do each and every day.
And so, folks, you are listening to what we've been sharing the last couple of days. And it could be that God is putting a face in front of your mind's eye of someone that you need to humble yourself before. Maybe ask forgiveness. Maybe seek wisdom and counsel. But humble yourself so that in the future there can be a sweet, sweet time of unity. I trust you'll do that.
By the way, don't forget to email us at WFL@brooksidebc.org for today's study show notes.
Till the next time, and the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.